Yeah. So, okay, so this time we'll look at some problems. We're now going to get into some problems on graph algorithms. How many people have ever done any programming where they implemented something on a graph? I see one person, two people. Graphs meaning graph adjacency matrices, adjacency lists. Does this sound like... Never actually done any programming on this thing. Okay? So... The problems from this week are basically going to be problems related to where every problem it can be solved, I will claim, by thinking of it as a problem on graphs, okay? And doing very little of doing basically walking along the edges of the graph in the right way. So what are the problems? Let's talk about the problems that warm us up about graphs. And then... this might be, these I think might be quite doable. Okay, so the first one is a problem called playing with wheels, okay? If you look at the picture in the chapter, it gives you sort of this counter. You're talking about, you have this counter machine. You know, back in, I used to see these counter machines where you had a button on them, that you have a wheel for each digit. And you could push a button to make the wheel kick one over or one back. Okay. Now, this is not really an adding machine because it doesn't wrap around. But basically, it's a machine that lets you, for every wheel, say go left or go right. Okay. And it therefore presents a different number each time you do it. Okay. So your problem is they give you a state of this machine, namely a number you're currently in. They give you a number that you want to be in, and they ask you for the smallest number of moves to find the smallest number of moves it takes to go from one to the other. Okay? So let's think about this. Suppose the problem is, as I told you, which it isn't. Okay.
But,
yeah?
Each wheel contains 1 through 9.
Each zero wheel contains 0 through 9.
Okay. I don't make sure they're not sharing numbers or anything.
Yeah, no, let's say we wanted to go from 896 to, give me another favorite four-digit number. 1919? Okay. So how many wheel presses does it take to go between these two numbers? Okay, you're either move forward or backwards, and the wheels are independent, yeah? So what he's saying basically is that you want to go in the shorter direction. The easier way to get the 9 up from 8 to 1 is probably to go 9, 0, right? And so ka-chunk, 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 3 moves will get you there, right? And to get from 0 to 9 is 1 move, is 1 move, right? Ka-chunk. And to get from 9 to 1, how many moves is that? 2. And the problem, to get from 6 to 9, how do you go? 7, 8, 9. So that tells me that you can do it in 9 moves. Okay? Does everybody agree this looks like a simple problem? Probably that's not the problem. Okay? The problem is almost the problem. Okay? What is the problem?
It turns out that there are certain states, certain numbers that are bad karma. Okay? And that we want to avoid any of these numbers. So what is the input for this problem? You are given a number, you know, a number of test cases. Each test case has a start test number, an end number, and then a list of verboten numbers, meaning that you're not allowed to have put the machine in that state, okay, at any point in this process. So suppose, let's say, that 1916 was a bad number. Okay? You could not have done ka-chunk, 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 because now you're in the state 1916. Does everybody agree with that? So your problem is find the shortest way to get from here to there, okay, in while avoiding any forbidden configuration. Okay? Any questions?
Okay? Any idea how to do it? Quickly. All right, guys, let's take it. Yeah? So you'll say do it recursively, do a search like you were doing not there. I will say, the way I think about it is I will say build a graph. What the graph is something you have to think about, and we'll talk about it. But I'm going to say that this problem, what you do with this should become clear once you think about what a graph is that represents the situation. Any questions? You have to define what a graph is. Is it, should I define what a graph is now, or is this what we talked about? Yeah.
You're not talking about actually building the whole graph initially. You're talking about kind of creating it on the fly.
I don't know what I'm saying. Okay. In fact, I know what I'm saying. In fact, to be fair, what is there a problem with constructing the whole graph here?
It'd be really big.
Well, how big is big?
Well, let's see.
9 times 9 times 9 times 9.
Or each node has 8 paths leading from it.
Oh yeah.
Well, 10,000. So what you're saying is the graph that people I hope are thinking about now is one where every number is a vertex. Right? What is a graph? In a computer science term, a graph is a collection of vertices and edges connecting pairs of vertices. Is that what everybody knows what a graph is? Stock market people may think of a graph as being something like this. We don't think of graphs like that. We think of graphs as being systems of points and lines connect, pairs of points connecting them. So what is the natural graph here? Let's think what are the vertices of the natural graph? Okay, yeah?
Machine states.
Machine states, the number. 0, 0, 1 is a vertex. 0, 0, 0, 0, 1 is a vertex. 1916 is a vertex. And what would be a logical edge in this graph?
A button click in of one of the four buttons in one of the two directions.
A button click, and what is a button click, and then what are the two vertices linked to? A button click will link two numbers that differ in one button click. And so what is the degree of any, what is the number of edges that every vertex is going to be adjacent to?
13.
Well, how many? I heard 8 and 36. Four. Is there any other numbers? Or anyone want to defend their number?
4, 6, 8.
8, right? Because what are the 8 neighbors of 0, 0, 0?
9, 0, 0, 0. 9, 0, 0, 0.
1, 0, 0, 0. 0, 9, 0, 0. 0, 9, 0, 0. 0, 1, 0, 0. Why is 9, 9, 9, 9, 9 not a neighbor? Because that's 4 clicks, right?
Yeah.
Now, is this the graph that you want to analyze? Or is there any other changes you want to make in this graph? Is that the complete graph that you want to analyze?
You
want to
add some kind of statement to some of the nodes saying that this is a bad state. If you get here, don't go back.
So you want to say certain nodes are verboten. Okay? Or equivalently, you want them deleted from the graph, right? Okay? Now then, what is your problem? Conceptually, what do you want to do with this graph?
Figure out the shortest path between two vertices.
Right.
Which bypass the forbidden nodes.
Right. Of course, if the forbidden nodes aren't there,
right.
You bypass them, right?
Right, right.
Okay, so you can, you know, I like to let my algorithm, when I think about graphs, okay, I think about graphs a lot, okay, it's part of my business, okay? But what I like to do is I like to simplify my data, my goal is that I know a very small number of algorithm tricks. I know how to find shortest paths. I know how to build minimum spanning trees. I know how to do, topological sorting, things like this, okay?
What I want to do is to take my data and bang it into a way so that it's basically one of my standard algorithm problems. So I don't have to invent new algorithms. Okay? So my immediate sense would be, if I'm thinking about this at least conceptually, I want to grab legal space and I'm walking around there. Okay? Any questions? Okay, so that is basically the problem that you're trying to solve here. And it gets us to questions of how do you represent the graph? How do you find shortest paths? Things like that. Any questions? Okay. Good. What's the second problem? The second problem is a tourist guide problem. Okay, you have a tourist guide in Bangladesh. Okay. Why is it Bangladesh? The guy who wrote the problems from Bangladesh. Okay, so that's why. I mean, these problems are edited from collected from several places, and there's certain groups of people who obsessively write these problems. And there's a group in Bangladesh that gets credit for a lot of these. So when I rewrote some of these problems, I kept as much of the natural the flavor as I could because I kind of liked some of it. So anyway, he's in Bangladesh. He wants to visit. He's directing a group of tourists from one place city to another. Okay. Now the problem is he's got a group of tourists, and in Bangladesh the way that you get from city to city is by using buses. But buses come in different sizes. Okay. So if you look at it, the bus from 1 to 4 has 10 people on it, room for 10 people. The bus from 4 to 37 has 35 people on it. He wants to get people from 1 to 7, but he wants to minimize the number of trips that he needs to do it. Okay? Does everybody see that? His goal is, you know, this guy has seen Bangladesh enough times, he doesn't want to see Bangladesh more times than he has to. And so he wants to figure out the route that will take the maximum, he won't have to go from city 1 to 7. He wants to do it in, have people do it in as large a packs as possible. Okay, so what is the minimum number of cities that he needs, routes, you know, trips that he has to make to ferry all the people from 1 to 7? Okay? Any questions? Okay, conceptually, what is this asking? Let's just think about it. What do we want to find, yeah? It
seems like you want to find the path with the largest minimum value.
So you're saying that the way to ferry the most people is not necessarily the shortest path. You're saying it's the one with the minimum, which maximizes the minimum number of people.
Right.
Okay?
Because to go directly from 1 to 4 to 7, the limiting value is 10.
Right.
You have to make, to train for 100 people, you have to make 10 trips, whereas to go from 1 to 2 to 4 to 7, your minimum value is 25. So
right.
You have to make 4 trips.
So I sort of agree that somehow that the conceptual part of this problem is given a graph of weights, find the path between the two cities which maximizes the minimum value.
So like 1, 3, 4, 7 is a bad route because the minimum value is 15.
Yeah, 1, 3, 4, 7, it's bad. He's got you're using a minivan, I guess, from 1 to 3. Okay. Whereas, you know, they're using land cruisers, I guess, from 1 to 2. Okay, and can go around that way. Okay, any questions about that? So, I mean, there's a certain amount of, there's one trick that remember the tour guide, it says, and one little trick that I made it clear in the write-up that wasn't clear originally that was frustrating was the tour guide has to take the trip each way, each time. So you have to make sure you leave room for Mr. G.
Oh.
Okay, so that's what made explicit here. So make sure you work through the example and see why the answer is what it is. Okay? But that's the...
So it says 99 tourists, so you have to calculate it for 100 then, right?
What?
Since we have to include the Mr. G, it says 99 tourists as the example.
Well, the problem is that Mr. G is the tour guide, so he's got to ride the bus with each group. So it's not 100, because it's, you know, it's Mr. G is going to have to fly back, okay, so that he can ride with the next group of tourists, okay? So he occupies a seat on every bus, okay?
That's the only clarification. Yeah.
When they say at least 5 trips for Mr. G, do they mean round trips?
No, Mr. G's flying back. Let's think Mr. G is flying back.
Oh.
Okay, so that's why, work through what the example is and why. Okay, but basically the catches are, it's a one-way thing, but Mr. G is flying back. And Mr. You know, and but Mr. G is sitting on the bus one way. Okay? Any questions?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Okay, so at the key conceptual point, how do you find the path which minimizes the maximum, which maximizes the minimum edge? Okay? Any questions? Okay, what's the next problem, just so we have know what our problems are before we get there? Tower of cubes. Here you are given a collection of cubes. Okay, think of them as dice. Okay, where the cubes are colored. Every cube has a distinct weight, and the cubes, every space has a color that it's colored with. So you have to find a way, so if you look at the sample input had 3 cubes. Okay? The first cube is has 2 faces colored 1 and 4 faces colored 2. Okay? The next one has all faces colored color 3. The final cube is faces colored 3, 4 faces colored 1, 1 face colored 2, and 1 face colored 3. And it tells you, when it lists the 6 faces of the cube, it tells you the order of the faces. Okay, so if you think about it, you've got a cube here. Okay, and then I think we should go work through this example just to make sure we understand it. But basically, it's not just that it has 6 cubic faces with 6 colors, 6 faces, it tells you what the color of each face is. If it's a bad cube, it probably is. Okay? So, what it's telling you here is that the orders are the front, back, left, right, top, bottom. So somehow, if I think of the ordering of the spaces, let me try to draw a cube carefully. Here's one cube, here's another. There's a cube. The front face is the first one, right? That's the first one in the input. The second one is the back face, right? Again, it's hard, you know, there's 3 dimensions. I can't draw it. Well, where's the third face?
Left. Okay, stupid question time. Our left?
Four.
The blackboard's left.
I think as long as you're consistent, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because I think all you're concerned with, because okay. Next one, let's take a look. What's the next one?
Top
was 5, bottom was 6. Okay. So it tells you what the cubes are. It tells you where they are labeled. You know where they are labeled. And it asks you. It also tells you that the cubes are listed in order of weight. Is that right? Is that what it says?
Yeah, increasing order of weight.
So you're allowed to put light cubes above heavy cubes. Okay? But you're not allowed to put a heavy cube on top of a light cube. Okay? So what is it actually asking you? Find the longest possible tower of cubes such that that cubes match colors on touching faces, okay, and yet you never put a heavy cube on top of a light cube. Okay? Any questions? Okay? Any questions? Any ideas how we can make this a graph problem? Okay.
Longest path through
the graph. What is the graph? You're saying it looks like a longest path through a graph. What is the graph? This is the question that gets you started. What is the graph? What are the vertices and what are the edges?
The vertices would be the cubes, and the edges would be the
So the vertices will be the cubes . So here we have a particular cube. Here we have another cube. We can have an edge from the cube A to cube B under what conditions?
Cube B is lighter, and there will be a matching weight to the cube A to be pleasure.
So if they have a similar color, and this is lighter than that, right? Something like that. So in this graph, does the edges have direction?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we see that this is a little bit of a different graph. This graph, the edges have some direction to them. It's a directed graph. Okay? Any questions? Does this graph have any cycles in it? Why can't we have a cycle in it?
Because you can never go back to a lighter cube. You can stack them up.
Okay, you can't have this cube can't be lighter than this one. This would be lighter than that, and that would be lighter than that, right? You know, 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 15 pounds. Doesn't work. Okay? So we have a graph here which has some interesting properties that might make it easier for us. Okay, and what is the problem that you want to solve?
You want to find the longest gap between two. You
want to find the longest path between two specific nodes in this graph?
Any two nodes.
Any two nodes. Is that what it's asking? I think that's what it's asking. Okay? Any questions? Okay? So that's the graph problem. Any questions? Final problem is about this, vampire, okay, who wants to take a train trip. Okay, and, the problem, so basically what is the situation? That vampire wants to go between two cities in apparently Transylvania, if you look at the list of where he's going. For every train, you're told at what time I think it leaves, and what time it arrives, right? That I think basically drove? So basically it tells you just the departure time and the total travel time. Okay, so the first time is what hour does it leave? The second time is how long does it take to get there? And you want to find the shortest path, the quickest way for our vampire to get from his starting point to his ending point, subject to the constraint that he is a vampire. Okay, so what can vampires do? Vampires can't travel during the daytime. Right? Because they turn into dust, if I remember correct. Okay, is that right? Does anyone confirm that that's basically a property of vampires? They catch fire, excuse me. Okay. So, but functionally, the main point is that the vampire cannot travel during the day. What you want to know is how many days does it take the vampire to get where he wants to go, subject to these constraints. Okay? So what are the, what is the graph here? Any questions about the problem? And again, there's some details you may have to read about this. What is it? Well, the input is, what are we saying here? It says that there are, if I say, what is the sample input here? Look at there's two problems. I look at the sample input. The first one has three train routes from Ulm to München. You know, one leaves at 7 o'clock. One leaves at, one leaves at 5 p.m. It takes 2 hours. One leaves at 7 p.m. It takes 12 hours. One leaves at 5 a.m. and takes 2 hours. Okay, yeah? So basically what it looks like is the vertices are going to be probably cities. There is basically going to be an edge telling you when you can get from, something connecting, when there is a route connecting it from where to where. Okay? But somehow you've got to take the times into consideration, right? Why is there no route in the first test case? Well, between, sometime between, basically between dusk and dawn and dusk, right? So if he leaves at 5 o'clock, he's turned in, he's caught fire, apparently. If he leaves at 7 at night and takes 12 hours, you know, he'll be fine until he gets just outside of Munchen when he will catch fire. What? It's any of the first thing is, the first number here is the time that he leaves. 19 o'clock is 7 p.m.
Oh, is this military time?
It's military time, right?
Oh.
And the next field is how many hours it takes. So if he got on that train, it would be fine from 7 p.m. up until 6 in the morning, but then he will catch fire, which will be embarrassing. If he leaves at 5 in the morning, he will catch fire midway between Ulm and Munchen, right? So there's no way for him to get where he wants to go. So somehow you have to factor that into the equation. But basically it is going to be build a graph appropriately and find a shortest path on it appropriately. Okay? Any questions?
I just actually asked the input of the description of what they actually give us. They say specifically the last line contains two city names.
Yeah.
The star city and the end city.
Yeah. Ulm and Munchen,
oh.
And Laju and Bacau, okay?
Sorry, I was looking at the city being Ulm and Munchen.
Okay, no. Ulm and Munchen. Right. Okay, any questions? Okay, so all of these I want to claim involve graphs and doing things on graphs, right? Does everybody agree? Okay, so now we should learn something about graphs so we can try to solve the problem. Any questions? Comments? Okay, so let's look at graphs. What is there to do with what we know about graphs? Well, basically, like I tell you, graphs are good things. Somehow that there's a lot of problems in computer science can conceptually be very, very quickly discussed as graph problems. Okay, and this is a, so me as an algorithm designer, one of my most powerful tricks is to take a graph, a problem, and say, what are the vertices and what are the edges? Once you've got that, you've got a way to think about it. You've got all these graph theoretic tools you know about, okay, or should know about, okay, or will know about, okay? So so that's an important thing to think about. So a graph, we say, is a set of vertices connected with pairs of vertices connected by edges. Again, if you want to analyze a road network, typically, the vertices represent the junctions, and the pairs of vertices connected by roads are the edges. If you want to analyze human interactions, okay, let's say we want to build a graph of friends, okay, you know, maybe you are friends with you, okay, you are friends with him, no one's my friend, okay, so we can build a graph where the vertices are people, and there's edges connecting pairs of people who are friends. Okay? And, you can often analyze interesting things about, you've heard about the 6 degrees of separation story? Have everybody ever heard the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game?
Yeah, on the Hall of Fame.
What?
On the Hall of Fame.
What Hall of Fame? What is it?
The original Oracle of Kevin Bacon. And you had to find an actor whose Kevin Bacon number was higher than 7.
Right.
I was one of the first ones to find him.
Very good. Okay, so what is it? Does he know what he's talking about? Okay, you don't know. Kevin Bacon is an actor. He's a person. Okay, we can define a graph where the vertices are people, and there's an edge between two people who have been in the same movie. Okay, in this graph, I am a singleton vertex because I have not been in a movie. I'm not a singleton vertex. I've been in a movie with my brother. Okay, when I was a kid, but I don't think I linked to Kevin Bacon. Okay, but on the other hand, Kevin Bacon is an actor, more or less. Okay, and he's been in movies, okay, and you can draw and play a game where you say another actor, let's say Mel Brooks, okay, and you ask yourself, what's the smallest chain of movies that it takes to get from Mel Brooks to Kevin Bacon? Mel Brooks was in Blazing Saddles, okay, Cleavon Little was in Blazing Saddles. Cleavon Little was in probably some other movie. Okay, so who was the actor that you said was Seven District Links and Kevin Bacon?
I basically used IMDb and found like Albanian actors from the 1920s.
Okay, so the interesting thing about The Small World is that the shortest path between two actors is probably very short. Okay, because we talked about, there was a problem earlier in the book about Erdős numbers, right? You saw it. I don't think I assigned it. But that's sort of a mathematician's version of this game, where there's a famous mathematician named Paul Erdős. And how good a mathematician you are described by what's the shortest link of papers you wrote a paper with Paul Erdős. Okay? I am proud to have an Erdős number of 2. Okay? It's not bad, but it's better to have an Erdős number of 1. It's even better to have an Erdős number of 0, but that means you're Paul Erdős. But he's dead, okay? So no one else gets an Erdős number of 1. But if you ever write a paper with me, you get an Erdős number of 3, unless you write a paper with somebody else who has a better Erdős number. Okay, so it's the same kind of game. But basically, it's the same game where the vertices are, in this case, people. And there's edges between pairs of people. You wrote a paper together, appeared in the movie together. And in this case, the game, Kevin Bacon game, is what is the shortest path from me to you. Okay, so think about it as a graph, it becomes an easy thing. Any questions? So when you think about graphs, there's a few things that are important to think about graphs. First, what is your graph? Second, once you have your graph, what are the properties that your graph has? Okay? Is it directed or undirected? We saw that one of our problems has a directed graph in it, meaning that an edge from A to B does not imply an edge from B to A. Okay? Different algorithms might apply depending upon whether your graph is directed or not. Everybody agree? I really haven't seen algorithms. Is your graph weighted or unweighted? There's weights would be basically in a weighted graph, we assign a number to each edge or vertex. Okay? And that might be an important part of the data for the problem. Which one of the problems we've talked about is probably defined by a weighted graph? The tourist guide, right? What would be the weight associated with the edge? The number of carriers. Okay, so yeah, so you have to think about it. The different algorithms will apply. Okay? Cyclic versus acyclic. Okay, does the graph have any cycles in it? And in the case of an undirected graph, what is an undirected graph without any cycles? What do we call that graph? A tree, right?
You have a tree, it has no cycles, right? At another edge, you've got a cycle. Okay? So trees are acyclic undirected graphs. Bags, directed acyclic graphs, are acyclic graphs that are directed. Okay, and we saw that at least one of our problems is a DAG. Which is the DAG problem? Which graph did we have that was directed?
What was that? Tower of Cubes. And why was it directed? Because cubes have weights and you only can go from a heavy cube to a light cube. Okay, and why do we know that there's no cycles? That falls out of that property, right? So you'd also have directed graphs that do have cycles. Not all directed graphs don't have cycles. We can consider, what's an example of a directed graph which does have cycles?
Bus routes,
okay. I was going to say Manhattan streets. Because you have one-way streets, right? But somehow you can get back to where you started from, right? If you couldn't get back to where you started from in a Manhattan street, it would be bad, because every time you bought a car, you'd have to discard it at the end of the trip, right?
Yes, right.
So that is an example of a graph that is cyclic. Finally, there are graphs that are implicit. You can talk about implicit graphs versus explicit graphs. And here, this is maybe not a distinction some people don't think about too much, but
Some graphs you explicitly construct and then traverse. Okay? Those are the ones that we have, I think, pretty much talked about here. The whole graph fits in memory, everything's fine. There's other graphs that you sort of build as you use them. And I would say backtracking. Remember we talked about the backtracking problems from last week? I would say that if you think about it, our problem of the 15 puzzle can be modeled as a graph. Finding a short solution between two states in the 15 puzzle, can that be modeled as a graph? What are the vertices?
The states
of the puzzle, and what is the edges? Linking two states that you can move from one to the other. And you want the shortest path from here to there. Or a short path from here to there. This is exactly the problem. So the problem that I gave you last week on the 15 puzzle is exactly a graph problem. Just like what we've been talking about here, except that it may be that the whole graph is too big to explicitly construct. Or constructing it is really a hard part of the game. Okay? So you could think of it as build the entire graph and then find the short path. Or you could sort of use the graph as you build it. Okay? So be aware that somehow that kind of dichotomy exists. Any questions? Okay, good. So how do we store graphs? What data structures do people use for graphs? Anybody seen this in a graph in a class?
Yeah, I mean, one of the ways I've seen it is to put your nodes in something analogous to a vector, and then each vector, in addition to having the node, also has like a linked list or something like that.
Okay, so you're proposing a scheme called adjacency lists. One way that you can represent the graph is as a array of linked lists, where here you have vertex 1, vertex 2, dot, 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 vertex n. And you have a list of all the edges, of all the vertices that this one is adjacent to. Right? So here maybe we have the graph, let's say 1, 2, 3. Let's say that it looks like a directed graph even. Vertex 1 is adjacent to 2. Vertex 2 is adjacent to vertex 3 and vertex 1. No, vertex 2 is adjacent to vertex
3.
Just 3. Vertex 3 is adjacent to 2. Okay? So building an array of linked lists, this is the adjacency lists representation. Does everybody see how that works? Does everybody see by making this regular, this node, you could have it contain a weight, you could have it contain whatever you want. Okay? And if you're representing an undirected edge like this, it appears twice in the linked adjacency list, right? 3, 2, 2, 3. Any questions? So this is one representation that is common. What other representations for graphs are used? What was that? 3? Well, don't know what that means exactly.
Could you use a hash table?
Could you use a hash table? What are you hashing? You could hash the edges. So you could represent it as a list of edges. But in general, that's probably not, that common a representation.
Yeah. One of the types is where you basically have a two-dimensional matrix, a two-dimensional array, with the rows and the columns being equal to the vertices, and then you, or links between them, you drop something into each of the elements. So, yeah.
So what if we build a matrix like this, where we have an n by n matrix, and the ijth entry tells us whether or not we have an edge there. Okay? So what about this graph? Is there an edge from 1 to 1?
No.
Is there an edge from 1 to 2?
Yes.
1 to 3?
No.
From 2 to 1?
No.
From 2 to 2?
No.
2 to 3?
Yes.
3 to 1?
No.
3 to 2? Yes.
No.
Okay. So this is a perfectly fine graph representation, right?
Except for 1. It's very memory intensive.
The problem with this is memory intensive.
For a graph that could be almost empty.
So if you have a sparse graph, this is going to have a lot of empty cells. Okay? This is, in general, a good way to represent, but this is probably easier. If your graph is small, for a lot of things, this is easier. Okay? This one is better for sparse graphs. Okay? Although you have to deal with pointers a little bit, right? Okay? So there's one other representation.
But these are, when you take an algorithms class, these are the two conceptually interesting representations. The representation I'm going to use in my example are, because I didn't want to use pointers in the book for various reasons,
was an array of arrays representation, a linked list in arrays. Could I represent, suppose I have a linked list 2, 1, 4, null. Could I represent that in an array instead of a linked list?
Yeah.
How do I do it? Right. So I could say 2, 1, 4, and then maybe have a minus 1 to say it's the end.
Sure.
Or maybe start out with a count. Okay. So how am I going to represent my graphs for concept, for simplicity? Okay, just so you see it again, is as an array, an array of lists stored in an array of lists stored in an array. Okay. Just so I avoid the need of pointers. So it's conceptually like this way. Okay? And if I'm not making a lot of changes, not inserting edges and deleting edges, you know, it's basically the same thing. Any questions about that? You don't have to do it this way, but I just, this is the way I did it. So for my examples, you know.
You can see how it goes. Any questions? So what is, how do I represent a graph? In my representation,
I am going to represent a graph by, again, what is it going to have here? Again, there's no text here, you don't have to necessarily read. But basically, I have a maximum number of vertices that will be in the graph. That's going to define the array here. So that I know that's going to define this dimension. The other one that I have is the maximum degree. What is the maximum number of edges that might be adjacent to any vertex? In general, what is the maximum degree of an n-vertex graph? N. So if you believe that...
N minus 1.
N minus 1, okay. Depends whether I have a self-dual. You know, there's others, it doesn't exactly mean pull an edge. But in principle, I should be able to, you know, if I do it like this, I've got an n by n array, which gets me back to this thing a little bit. But do most graphs contain such high degrees?
Let's think of the problems that we talked about. Of the four problems we've looked at, what was the maximum degree of the number problem here?
8.
Okay. What is the maximum degree of a node in Manhattan?
Generally,
you know, a corner is, you know, intersects on four roads at most. There's some weird places, like probably when you cross Broadway. But, you know, but we agree that we were talking about low degrees. So by doing this, for many applications, I don't get in trouble. Okay, or you can use linked lists if you don't like this. Okay, you shouldn't be afraid of linked lists, but people here are afraid of linked lists. Good. Okay, you shouldn't be afraid of linked lists. But anyway, that's not how I did it.
So what if I get represent each node of mine, each edge in the graph? So if you think about it, the vertices are represented by the array from 1 to n. Each edge is being stored by, so what is my graph structure? I keep count of how many edges do I have, how many vertices do I have, what is the maximum degree, the degree of each vertex? So the way that I'm storing it here is I'm keeping count of this, of how many vertices are adjacent to this thing. And then I've got an array, okay, that is going to be telling me, basically that's for each vertex, I have max degree slots to stick the adjacency information. That is how I'm storing my graph here. Any questions? Okay. Any questions about why any of those fields are there or why I don't need those fields?
How are you going to store information about each node?
Suppose I want to store a weight.
Right.
Well, you notice that this is, over here I declare it as being an integer array. In fact, what I should do if I want to have it be more meaningful, okay, I could have this be an edge type. Right now, all I'm storing is the vertex number, the other vertex number, right? So it's sort of going to be I, and then whatever went in here was the opposing J. I could make this be an edge, you know, some sort of edge structure, where I store both a weight and a, you know, something like that. Okay? Any questions? So I would make it be a record instead of an integer if I want to store more complicated things. Any questions? Okay? How do I use this graph structure? Here is a little routine to read a graph from the file, just to sort of show you that these methods are not really so hard. To read a graph, I have my graph type I talked about before. I start by initializing it. How do I initialize my graph? How many vertices does my empty graph have?
Zero.
How many edges does it have?
Zero.
What is the degree of every node in my graph initially?
Zero.
So that's all that I do is to set this thing here. So everybody see how I'm initializing this? And so what is my procedure going to be doing? I read the number of vertices, store that in the thing, read the number of edges, then in my graph format here I have vertices, edges on one line. Then I have m lines. If I have n edges, I have m lines. Well, each line has the two vertices of that edge. Basically, I read it and insert it in my edge. Okay? Any questions? The interesting part is how you do an insert edge, and that I'll show you in a second. Okay? But does everybody see what I'm doing? My graph format here. So for this particular graph, how would I represent it in my file format? How many vertices does it have?
3.
How many edges does it have?
3.
What are the edges?
1, 2, 3, 2, and 2, 3.
Right? So this is the file format representing this graph that I'm reading. Okay? These are puzzle books. Any questions or comments? What am I trying to do? I think it says vertices and the number of edges. Right? So basically I'm going to loop from here to there, reading them and sticking them in my structure. Okay?
So everybody see that? That's basically what I'm doing here. And note that what this thing is doing is, it's to insert an edge, I give it as input the graph, the two vertices associated with it, and a flag to tell me, do I want to insert directed or undirected? To certainly know if it's a directed graph, if I'm reading the edge 1, 2,
as a directed graph, it only goes one way. If it's an undirected graph, it goes the other way, right? So I have to do it a little bit differently.
So what did my insert edge do? If the degree of the current, let's say I want to insert an edge XY. If the degree of node XY is larger than, what you call it, than the maximum degree, there's no more room for me to put it in there, right? And so I got to warn that I've got a problem. Does everybody agree with that? This is meant to be a nodding thing. Is everybody nodding? Okay, it's not F. In general, what do I now do? Since I started putting it, if the degree is 5 and in C arrays start from 0, the fifth slot is now open. So I'm going to put the value of the other, if it's edge XY, I'm going to put in the degree entry of the X list or array, I'm going to put the value Y. That's how I know that XY is an edge. And I increase the edge, what you call the degree of X, because now I added an edge from it, right? If the directed graph is false, then I have to insert a second copy of it, right? If it's not a directed, that means it's undirected. That means that I have to insert an edge YX into the graph, right? You know, I do this with recursion. I'm actually kind of proud of that. Look at that. Okay, this is a little trick here. Why isn't this going to loop indefinitely? Because I say it's true now, right? Because if it was false, it's now true, and it's going to terminate. Otherwise, all I do is add the number of edge count to 1. Okay? Any questions? So this, I claim, is a way that... Using this kind of thing, you should now be able to read in a graph or build a graph and store it in this structure. Any questions about that? Okay?
So if the graph is not directed, we're saying that it's just one edge, right? I'm making it as two edges.
No, you are making it as two edges. Okay? Why is it? If it's not directed, suppose if directed was false, that means it's not directed, right? So what's going to happen? If it's false, we insert, first of all, if you say, insert edge XY false, meaning not as an undirected edge.
Right.
What's going to happen? First it gets stuck, Y gets stuck on the X list, and then X is going to get stuck on the Y list. That's what the purpose of the second call here is.
Oh.
Okay, so I'm making two copies of the edge if it's undirected, one copy if it's directed. Any questions? Okay? So this is, again, not very hard here, once you understand this. So what do we want to do once we have our graph? Okay, what operations can we do that are interesting? Well, probably the many of these problems are asking for the shortest path between two nodes, right? How did we find the shortest path? What was the idea behind finding the shortest path of the two nodes in the puzzle, the 16 puzzle problem? We had this idea that the 15 puzzle problem was was a graph where the vertices were states. We wanted to find the shortest path between two of these things. You want to do a breadth first search of the graph, right? Everybody agree with that?
So how do we do a breadth-first search of a graph?
Basically, the let me go through my code and we'll talk about it. Then we'll see if this is confusing or not. Okay? For every vertex, we're going to keep track of which vertices have already been processed, meaning we have already done the traversal from them. We're going to keep track of every vertex, which vertices have been discovered by our search. And for every vertex, we're going to keep track of where its parent was. So let's do it, write a graph and do a traversal of it. Let's say that this was our graph. It was a nice little grid. We start out walking from this vertex. But there, every vertex is a number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Which vertices will we visit first on a breadth-first traversal from 1?
2 and 5,
right? Originally, if I tell you to start exploring the graph from 1, 1 was discovered, because we were told that it existed, but we haven't finished exploring it yet, right? We're now going to say, hey, what entries go out from me? Well, that's going to say you now have start out on 1, to explore it, you discover vertices 2 and 5, right? Now, this has been discovered, and you've completely visited this guy, right? So this guy's finished now, 1's finished. So 1 has been processed, okay? Now from 2, that's the next thing we're going to do, right? We restore all these vertices in a queue. So what vertices do we now discover?
3 and 6. And 1 already can discard it because we find it.
3 and 6, because it's already been processed, we ignore it, right? We're not going to revisit it again. This is how we make sure we don't repeat our work over and over and over again. Now we have finished visiting number 2, right? What's the next vertex we process?
5.
What do we discover from 5?
6 and 9,
but 6 has already been discovered, right? So we want to say, let's discover 9. And now finish up with this one. So the important point, to avoid doing a lot of work, we're only going to discover each vertex once, right? And we're going to build a tree of who did the discovery. Who discovered 2 and... Who discovered 2? 5. Who discovered... 5. Who discovered 2 was 1. Who discovered 5? Who discovered 6?
2.
Who discovered America?
Columbus, okay?
What?
I will assert the Columbus.
But that's beside the point. So what are we doing here? There's this pre-appearance that we're building, right? What is the shortest way to get from vertex 1 to vertex 6? By walking along this pre-discovery, right? So this is how we're going to solve our problems. Of shortest path.
That's going to be a time problem.
You tell me. That's what your problem is. You know.
I need more problems.
Well, I don't think any guarantees, but if you've got a feeling, how much time should it take? Basically, we're going to visit every edge of the graph once, right? In the course of this discovery, if we avoid repetition, we're only going to visit every edge in vertex of the graph once or twice. So if you can do something with the graph, you should be able to walk. If you build the graph in time, you can walk over the graph in time. So this is not a time-consuming thing.
Okay? This is a part of the linear time algorithm. If you do it right. I'll go through the algorithm just to show you how I do it. Any questions? So what are we going to do? We initialize it by saying nobody has a parent. Okay, that's why we initialize everybody to minus one. Nobody's been discovered, and nobody's been processed. Does that sound like that's the right initialization step? How then do we do the traversal? Well, look at my routine here. Let's read it and see if I'm telling you exactly what I'm doing. I'm given an input, a graph, and a start vertex, right? Meaning the integer telling me what vertex do I start from. So what do? I initialize my queue of vertices that I'm going to be exploring. Initially, it's empty, basically be empty. I stick my start vertex on this queue, because that's how I'm going to start my search from, is from the start vertex. I now state that I have discovered but not finished processing the first vertex. Does that make sense?
Where do you get the start vertex to begin with?
Oh, it has to be a bias.
So
I'm saying, when you do a search, you have to do a search from someplace. Right? And that's the problem in trying to find some bad guys. You don't know where there's a way to start to search. You're in trouble. Okay? So, where do we start? Okay? So, what is our algorithm going to be? While the queue is not empty, right? That's what this is saying. What happens when the queue is empty? We have no more vertices to explore, right? So, we stop. While it is not empty, get me the oldest guy on the queue. Call that B. What do? Process that vertex. How do I process the vertex? Depends upon what I want to do. Maybe I want to print the vertex's name out once when it was discovered. Process Q might print out, hey, you discovered me. Okay? Or... So there's going to be two different application-specific routines here. I can maybe even only one. Here I say, how do you process a vertex when it's discovered? They also tell you how do you process an edge when it's discovered, right? So there's going to be two subroutines that you may want to use, fill in to do work that you want. When you visit an edge, maybe you want to print it, maybe you want to find the weight of the edge, maybe you want to count the number of edges. Okay? You do that by writing these routines. So what does it say here? We dequeue a vertex, we now announce that it's been processed. What are we now going to do? Go through all the outgoing edges of B, where I goes from 0 to the degree, if invalid edge, what to say, that's a little bit of, basically it's a test just to make sure this edge is valid. For our purposes, that's always true. Okay? There's a generality reason why I did that if you read the book far enough. Okay? But basically, assuming it's a valid edge, which it will be, if the edge was discovered, we do nothing. Okay? If the edge was if the edge was not discovered, we do something. If the edge was discovered, we do nothing, right? If it was not discovered, that meant we discovered it, right? By not the edge, the other vertex of that edge had not been discovered. We have discovered it. Discovering it means sticking it in the queue, announcing we have discovered it, and getting credit for our discovery by setting the parent of that vertex to us. Right? Does that make sense? Or any questions or comments? If on the other hand, okay, if the vertex has not been, had been discovered, okay, if the vertex was not processed.
He's parenting it?
The parent is the one who's discovering it. The parent is the discoverer of a vertex. I'm about to become a parent of my daughter, okay? So I'm going to be the discoverer. I will see her first, okay?
Oh, okay.
So what are we saying here? We're exploring the outgoing edges from vertex V. In the course of doing that, any vertex that is adjacent to V that has not yet been discovered, I have discovered. V has discovered. And so that's why now discovered is true. Any questions? Finally, okay, if the process of the edge is false, what does that mean? It has not been processed, now I'm going to go process it. Okay? Any questions? Yes?
This will find the, this looks like it will find the shortest path of an with unweighted edges, but we'd have to modify this slightly for weighted edges, right?
You're 100% right. This will find shortest paths of unweighted graphs, but not shortest paths of weighted graphs. Why is that? Let's consider the following road trip.
There's a scenic highway between, you know, here and here that is 1,000 miles long. Okay? But if you take the back roads, there are a bunch of sharp turns you make. But maybe after making 100 roads, each of 1 mile long, this would be the shorter path between here and there, right? So we cannot use this to find the shortest path of weighted graphs. You can find it to find the shortest path of unweighted graphs. But I will tell you that for many problems, unweighted graphs, you find the shortest path of unweighted graphs. For example, that puzzle problem, the 15 puzzle was unweighted graph. The math machine problem is an unweighted graph. Okay? So this is a, there are ways to find shortest paths of weighted graphs, which we'll talk about next week. Okay? But Brett first searches your friend on unweighted graphs. Any questions? Okay? Any questions about how this routine works? Okay? How can we print each vertex and edge exactly once? All we have to do is to write the processed vertex routine as saying print that vertex. And for print the edge, do that within the process edge thing. Notice, why do we know we're going to visit every process, every vertex only once? How do we know that we're never going to process a vertex twice? Because the only time that you do this thing is when you go from, basically, you process a vertex is when you turn it from false to true, right? The process state becomes true here. And you will never get to the point where you call it recursively, okay, unless you get that. Likewise, what's the situation when we're processing an edge? We're processing an edge only if the other vertex has not yet been processed. Meaning the first time we visit the edge. This is maybe a little bit tricky to say. Okay? But I will claim that if you go through it and implement this and trace through it, you will see that you've processed each vertex only once and each edge only once. Okay, and that enables you, these are the routines where you can hang off what you want to do with them. And if you look at the book, you'll see various applications where I have more complicated process vertex and process edge things. Any questions?
What do you mean by I'm sorry.
Process means you do something with it. Right now, all Bedford Search is doing is walking over the grass. Why are you walking off of the grass? Is it for exercise, or is it to try to do something? Okay? So if you want to do something while you're walking over the grass, like finding what edge has the biggest weight, okay, or something like that, you might want to modify. You know, basically, these process vertex and process edge routines give you the ability to do something while you're doing the walk. Okay? Any questions?
Final thing I'll talk about now, just so you I know that you have complete ability to do a couple of the problems. How do you actually find the shortest path? Once you have, let's say you finish doing a search, you have this parents array. Okay? How do you find the shortest path from start to end, given that parents relation? I claim this gives you a way to go back and do it. Basically, if your start point is the same as your end point, then basically you don't have to do very much to walk from start to end, right? Everybody agree with that? Otherwise, your starting point is not the same as your ending point. Well, we know how to get from the ending point to the step before the ending point. Why? Because what was the step before the ending point? The parent of the ending point, right? So now, find this path from the start to the parent of the ending point. Okay? And then print out the ending point. This recursive procedure is a slick way to do that trace back. Okay? And I can trace the path back through that parent's relation. Any questions? You can do this iteratively, too, if you don't want to be so slick. And it might actually be easier for certain problems. Okay? But I claim that now you know how to do a breadth first search of how to store the graph. You know how to do a breadth first search through the graph. And you know how to actually reconstruct from this parent's relation what that path was or how long it is or whatever you want. Okay? And that, I claim, will give you enough information to solve at least some of these problems. Okay? Certainly playing with wheels, and if you do it right, dusk through dawn. Okay? And this one, I think, is actually not so bad either, but it's not quite the same model we've talked about. But this is actually may very well be the easiest of the bunch. Okay? Any questions?
For playing with wheels, do you recommend you create the graph right off the bat?
I recommend you play with wheels first. This is my recommendation. And I recommend that you build the graph and then do your searches on it.
Okay.
Any questions? So do me a favor. Get that one working this week. Make me happy about you, okay? My student's fine. No baby yet. Okay, if there is, you'll be among the first to hear about it. Any questions? Okay, thanks a lot for your attention. Have a good weekend.
We'll talk later.